Then we're going to go to agenda item two, which is listed on the agenda as a Columbia River policy scheduling decision on our policy C-3620. I sent out a year at a glance yesterday to note that we really need to talk about more than just Columbia River scheduling, and had hoped that we could get to some of your ideas and some of your suggestions about our work in the next few months on the table and decided. Since then, this morning, about a half hour before our conference call, we got another version of that year at a glance sent to us from Amy Windrope and staff at the department, which means that not only are nine people trying to decide a complex schedule, but we have at least two versions of that intersecting at this time. So saying all of that, my suggestion is that we work on a couple of big items that we do need to get the will of the commission on, and continue to refine the year at a glance specifically, send it back out as soon as we can get that done and have that discussion at a later date. So assuming there's no objection with that, we should go straight to scheduling of our policy C-3620, which is Columbia River. I certainly won't be leading this discussion, but the question is, how do we get to finality on that? And to some extent, how do we get to concurrence with Oregon being folded into the initial question? So does anybody want to start us off? Please be referring to your year at a glance as we're going through this.
Madam Vice Chair.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'd like to go back in time here just a little bit and go back to our, regarding the Columbia River 3620 policy. I'd like to go back to our meeting on June 12th and 13th. Where the commission voted to send out the draft policy document, and I thought a lot about that over the weekend on Sunday, I guess, because we were in session on Saturday, and I thought it was important to at that point to gesture to Oregon that maybe we should think about having some dialogue in the near future. So I asked for a conference call on Monday. Included in that conference call were yourself, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioner McIsaac, Ron Warren from the department, and myself. And we talked about reaching out to Oregon, and then I suggested I would reach out to the Chair Mary Wall. And I did that. And I think I talked to her twice or maybe three times in the last 10 days or so. It was a good discussion. She's easy to talk to, and she has her own views of the world and so on. The outcome after the very last, at the very last call that we had, after she had gone and discussed with their director and her colleagues on the Oregon Commission, that they have not been working on Columbia River policy issues. They have been busy, very busy with other things, she stated. They have scheduled in Oregon for a Oregon Commission workshop on August the 11th. And perhaps, she said, once they get past the August 11th and they get an opportunity to be brought up to speed by their staff and whoever else they include there, they could have a small group meeting with some of the Washington commissioners and the director. So that's where that ended for now. And so August the 11th is their workshop, which I look forward to finding out that could be helpful for the very complex education that their commissioners are going to need. So it's my recommendation that at the July 31, August 1 meeting, we go through the process of a briefing and very adequate, probably lengthy public comment and take no action at that meeting. Once that's over, we then can get back down and drill down on timing for future action on that item. So that's my recommendation.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Let me offer a few comments first on the matter of coordinating with the state of Oregon, and then I'll circle back.
I can't hear you, Don.
Oops. Can you hear me?
I can hear him.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Mm-hmm. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let me make a few comments on coordinating with the state of Oregon first, and then I'll circle back to achieving the schedule of how we might achieve finality. I think it's important that we complete our process as per our February letter that we sent to the Oregon folks. And why do this? Because I think it achieves a clear policy position for which to enter into discussions with Oregon to achieve concurrency. I think after we reach a state of finality, it would be good for us to send a letter to the Oregon Commission inviting them to re-engage and communicate that we would like to re-engage. I think we ought to acknowledge the Oregon position of taking a pause as a reasonable one because they've had such a turnover, but to courteously ask for some re-engagement and let them know the various issues that are out there that we want to wrestle with in terms of concurrency, including some that they brought up in the PRC process, like the thermal sanctuary issues. And I think it's important to set a real courteous atmosphere that creates the opportunity to discuss matters of mutual benefit. I think we ought to make it clear that we're not looking to put our position on the table and that's it. And if that's not accepted, then we'll just fish on our side of the river. I think we should put out the opposite perspective, that we really wish to have a genuine discussion that embraces the spirit of some justified compromise. And I think if we cite the long history that we had with Oregon on reaching the goals of concurrency that's been out there, that we do have an opportunity to do that. You know, that's been our joint scientific assessments, or our activity at the Columbia River Compact, there is a very positive long history about both states searching for concurrency, and I think that can happen. And if they do engage with us, and we can get that done by the end of 2020, then perhaps we would have to come back and make some adjustments in our policy. If it's not able for them to get to the table to the point where we can reach an agreement on concurrency after there's a full discussion of all the information on the table, then it might be that we have to look at 2021 to try to do that and try to put a schedule out there. And again, like occurred in 2020, if by the end of the year we'd have a feel for what the run sizes are, I think that could be done. All in all, I think it's important that we identify our policy positions first, and then we sit down with Oregon and not stop our process. So what's been on the table for our process, I guess since our March meeting in Kennewick, has been a two-meeting process with public comment at each meeting in June to talk about language that goes out for a public review, and in August to make a final decision. So that's one option, is to move forward like has been on the table since March. And actually, since last December, we talked about a two-meeting process, but it was moved to the summer out of the North of Falcon workload reason. Another option is to not reach a final vote in August, but schedule one for September. But I do think we have got to have a schedule that reaches finality on this question and not let it linger beyond September at the latest. I think my preferred position would be to stick to the schedule that we have now, consider the question of finality in August. And if it turns out that there's a reason of new information or some other reason that we want to not take a vote then, but come back in September, then, you know, I'm open to hearing reasons why that's a better position. But in terms of that scheduling finality, after all the process we've gone through, that initially said, we're going to look at this policy, and if we find some things that aren't working, we should address those. And we're to the point now of being very near final on those, and some new ideas that have come up in the process, including some from Oregon. It's time to fish or cut bait on this issue. And as Madam Vice Chair, you said back in February, I think, we need to get to as much of this in our rearview mirror as possible. And right now, in my mind, that means settling on what is the Washington position on these important policy matters, and leaving them in a state of not achieving the purpose of the 2013 policy. It's just not a very good policy position in my mind. So there's my perspective.
Thank you, Don. Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Yeah, I understand the frustration of not getting any closer to a decision. You know, this has been a long process, one that exhausted the state of Oregon. And I want to remind commissioners, because we'll all be involved in these decisions, is that even though we've been at this for probably almost 2 years, we just released a draft of the proposals that were the recommendations of the work group on the 15th of June. And I do not believe we have had adequate time for review. I think we're gonna see a lot of comments, suggestions, objections, all of that over the next month. And I think that these are gonna need to be considered. I don't agree that we need to have a vote on this in August. I think that it's appropriate to visit this in September, and whether or not that is put forward to a vote at that time is questionable. And I also wonder what kind of message that we're sending to Oregon if we complete our process without any type of engagement with them for many months. You know, does that send a message that said, okay, this is it, you know, take it or leave it? You know, as Commissioner McIsaac mentioned, we need to have a cordial relationship with Oregon, and we need to consider what sort of a message that sends. I'm in favor of not reaching a decision in August and revisiting this in September, after we've learned what the results were, the discussions of the work group with Oregon, if we can get a sense of their position and whether we need to re-examine the position and recommendations that were put forward by the work group. That's my comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. We have three more commissioners that want to weigh in. That would be Kehoe, Thorburn, and Smith. I want to remind all of us that the ultimate arbiter under our rules of what our agenda is the chair. So this isn't the kind of thing we're going to be taking a vote on, but the need to have to try to, there's at least some pressure to expedite our work, since the composition of this commission could change at the end of the year. And there's also a lot of public interest in you know, how we're approaching some of these big issues. And we have two of them back to back today, which is Wolves and Columbia River. So what we're doing here is commenting on how we think we should proceed on the Columbia River scheduling. We have one more issue to take up quickly after that. And so we need to be expeditious if possible. So with that, Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I have a different perspective than Commissioner Graybill, and with all due respect, the chair. You know, as far as the interactions with Oregon, as Commissioner McIsaac pointed out, we sent them a letter earlier in the year, clearly indicating that our decision, the commission's decision, was to move forward in developing our policy, or at least in terms of developing potential changes to the policy. That has been well known. It's encouraging to hear that Oregon is coming back to the table, or at least after several months considering it. Sure, they have a lot of issues, as do we. So, any event, and then I think us coming forward, developing, coming to finality on our recommendation. Our changes to the policy doesn't necessarily mean that we're not that we're shutting the door to Oregon, take it or leave it. That's hardly the case. But you know, in my experience, and I know the chair has had a lot of experience in negotiating transactions, many transactions, Mr. Chair, in your very successful career. And it's difficult to, or impossible, in my experience, to come up with a resolution when you're dealing with another party, unless or until you have in your own mind a clear indication of what your position is. So to suggest that we should just kind of wait and maybe hear what Oregon has to say, I strongly disagree with that. I think we should go forward with our position and come to some sort of resolution. As far as the matter of August, end of August decision point or September, I mean, my preference would be to do it in August. And because this is kind of how we've telegraphed this for many months, this should not be a surprise to anyone if we were to take it up in August. However, if people are more comfortable in kicking it over till September, I guess I would be okay with that. The chair indicated that you know we take public comment in at the end of July or early August, and then defer and then figure out then what we're going to do. I'm not in agreement with that, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to set some sort of finality to this. And as the chair, as the vice chair indicated, several seats on the commission are set to expire at the end of the year. And so as a person, and I'll be a little selfish here, as a person that committed many hours, many trips, at meetings, reviewing materials, for this to not come to resolution before the end of 2020 would be very, very disappointing to me, and the efforts that not just myself, but Commissioner Graybill, Commissioner McIsaac, and staff have put into this. So that's a long-winded speech here, but I feel very, very strongly about this, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the commissioners. Whether it's thumbs up or thumbs down on what the recommendations are, that's beside the point. But in my view, we need to make a final decision on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. We have Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner Smith. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you, and thanks for the discussion. I'm struggling with the question of timing, recognizing that it will be the chair's decision. This is an issue that I've had concerns since coming on to the commission a number of years ago. We've taken staff through this intensive review as is required by the policy. It did point out areas that need improvement, and I think, you know, that's what, first of all, the PRC was working on, and now our own work group, and we're getting there. What I am very concerned about is concurrence with Oregon in managing this very complex fishery, in my mind, is paramount. And Chair Wall reached out to me recently, and she has real concerns about the draft that's out there. And so I think that we have work to do to make Oregon feel that we're not being adversarial in our approach, as Commissioner McIsaac was saying. We need to get the message to them that we want to work with them. And I had a great conversation with Commissioner McIsaac yesterday. I too have some concerns with the draft, and I was talking to him about those in a couple of areas, commercial gear and conservation, in terms of the allocations and abundances, so we talked about maybe some ideas that might make it a little bit more palatable to Oregon, is related to my conversation with Chair Wall. But what I think is important to me in moving forward is that we have assurances that we are going to be able to go back to Oregon and work on concurrency, and don't have them entirely going, oh my gosh, what's Washington doing over there? We entered this adversarial kind of situation. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. I think we have Commissioner Smith up next.
Sure, just a couple quick points. I understand Commissioner Keogh's perspective, and I appreciate it. However, I disagree. The fact that, as was raised, the draft just went out a couple days ago doesn't give a whole lot of time in a month, basically, month and a half, to do much. And I think we owe it to the public to have their input. There will be a lot of concerns, points, suggestions raised. And also, it has come to my attention recently from Oregon that they are not, at least one of the members of their commission is not in support of the draft as it is now. So I see that placing this in August is just rushing ahead. And sure, it would be nice to have it in the rearview mirror, but I want to make sure what we see in the rearview mirror isn't an accident. So I will look for, I think, and I do appreciate Commissioner Keogh. I think we can do this successfully by the end of the year before the commissioners change.
Thank you, Brad. Commissioner, we have now Graybill and McIsaac. You guys are on your second comment. So let's try to keep them brief, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I share the concerns of Commissioner Keogh and Thorburn that we, I think all of us would like to see this resolved ultimately way before the end of the year. And I quail at the prospect of what Commissioner McIsaac described earlier as getting into the 21 and reviewing runs of this year or something to factor in. I definitely want to see this resolved too. In a timely manner, I think August is too soon, but I agree with Commissioner Kehoe and Commissioner Smith that we need to get this resolved prior to the end of the year, certainly.
Thank you, David. So next up then is, Commissioner McIsaac, possibly to wrap us up. I don't see any other hands.
Okay, well, I'll be brief here. I would just say we still have some of our process yet to go. Yes, we're expecting a lot of comments over the course of the summer. I may have some suggested language changes of my own in August when we get to it. But I do think that we need to stick to the process that started in 2013 when the original plan said, if something goes wrong here, you're bound to try to correct it. And it is a little bit disturbing when a schedule is out there for so long that at the very end, the last stage becomes a question. Is this a 9-inning ball game or is this a 10-inning ball game? So I will just say that. And in terms of the chair's responsibilities here, there's two commissioners that aren't here. The full commission, as Commissioner Kehoe mentioned, wrote a letter to Oregon saying, this is our process. Let us know if you have any concerns. And we're going to move forward and try to reach finality over the summer. So if I hear things like going to the end of the year, delay begets delay. And we've seen that over and over again. And so I would expect that the chair would express the will of the commission on this as we move forward in any kind of scheduling decisions. I think, again, we're talking about scheduling. And when we do so, when we get to a decision on how to move forward, and then at the very end start second-guessing the decision, that's not a very good process. And it was known real early on that we had a summertime for people to have comments on. And so to bring these issues up at the late time as this, I think we need some certainty moving forward. And I think we absolutely need some certainty when we sit down with Oregon that they don't say, you guys don't even know where you're at. Well, when are you going to know where you're at? So anyway, this discussion's a little bit troubling from my perspective with regard to having an organized approach. It's taken 2 years already. And to get to this stage and now start to wonder about things that could have been debated earlier.
So thank you, Don. Commissioner Carpenter, Chair Carpenter, wants to close this discussion, but I see that Commissioner Smith's hand is still up. Brad, did you want to, do you have further comments or are you just,
I'm lowered.
Okay, Chair Carpenter.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate all the comments. It's helpful. I'm troubled by what I've heard back from people, including the Oregon chair, about the draft policy, a quote, non-starter. So that doesn't send good vibes to anyone. And I would, if I were on the Oregon side, I think I would be concerned about, they've scheduled a Columbia River workshop for August the 11th. So if Washington were to go ahead and vote on the draft policy, July 31, August 1, 10 days before they have a workshop, I think that really sends the wrong message. It's at the will of the commission. Once we get past August, I stand by my comments about open public comment and briefing, and it's the will of the commission if they want to bring forward September as a point of a final decision. I'll certainly be part of that, but I don't think doing it in August is appropriate, and that's my position.
Okay, so nobody else has their hands up. My only comment on this is that I hope that the people listening to this conversation are appreciative of how difficult it is to have these kind of discussions in an open public meeting. And yet that is the right thing to do. It is the law. And while we do not need, the chair sets the agenda on this one, on the Columbia River, and just how big it is and how diverse there, how many diverse opinions there are, it seemed appropriate to have the commission discuss something as supposedly simple as process. So everybody's been heard. Everybody's heard what everybody thinks. We'll just let this roll along, and eventually the chair will figure out precisely when we're going to vote on that. Just skipping for a second to the strategic plan, given the length of this meeting, I think what I'd like to do is just make a statement, and Commissioner Thorburn, if you want to weigh in, you should feel absolutely free. But there were concerns raised about the timing of the strategic plan. You'll remember of the timing of the strategic plan, public hearings, public comments, briefings, and then ultimate decision on adoption. We've had this set up for a while as a two-meeting process because it's an important document, with the second meeting being at the end of July. Commissioner Thorburn has had communications with some people in Eastern Washington who feel, I believe that they had two issues. One is that it's technologically difficult for them to interact and have themselves heard in this process. And secondly, that they wanted to actually have some real input. So she asked if we could slow down the plan. That's been communicated to Jeff Davis, who is the staff person who is in charge of conservation for the agency. And he is working, he is amenable. He thinks we'd rather do this right than fast. So currently we're going to change next public hearing to September and people that working on this in the department are going to be reaching out in a real way to the people in Eastern Washington who haven't felt like they've been able to participate. So I want to just let you guys know all that. We are slowing down the plan just for a month, but for all the right reasons. And I wonder if there are any questions or comments. Kim, I used your name. Do you want to say anything about that?
Sure, Barbara. Thank you to you and Jeff and the director and all for considering this. I think what I've been hearing really reflects a lot of the discussion that we've had through the process of development, and that is the need for this. I mean, the whole plan is about engagement and outreach and, you know, strategies of stewardship, and so it needs to be a document that is inclusive, that feels inclusive to all of Washingtonians. And as this went out, I think the first reaction that I'm hearing from stakeholders is, yikes, as we've talked about, this is very different, and that we haven't yet maybe accomplished that inclusiveness or the sense of inclusiveness that is needed. And so to provide more time for conversation in this strange era that we're living in, you know, it happened with the wolf SEPA scoping, the problems with technologic access in our rural communities who feel very impacted by almost everything the department does, makes it more difficult for them to organize responses, community responses. So to allow a little bit more time for that, I think is or as much time as needed for that, I think is really, really important. So I thank you for acting on this. I think it will improve the plan.
Well, thank you for thanking me, Commissioner Thorburn. Now, I understand that Chair Carpenter has to go and he wants to make one more statement. So, Larry, are you out there somewhere?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
This is a follow-up to, I thought, a very pleasant, enjoyable discussion we had on Wednesday with the governor when he raised the issue about global warming, ocean acidification, Columbia River issues, cold water, et cetera, et cetera. And we talked about, he asked about our commission getting engaged in the global warming scenario, which is a pretty big lift in itself. So what I've done is I've taken the liberty of asking two commissioners to kind of take the lead on formulating this and coming up with some bullets, some guidance, and so on. And our past chair, Smith, who is an environmental scientist for decades, has agreed to do that with the help of Barbara Baker, our vice chair. So thank you for doing that. I look forward to and Amy, you have your hand up. Okay.
That sounds great. No, I just want to catch Barbara's mind before she closes it.
Sure. I was getting to you guys, Amy. I'd like to say that when Larry just said sort of two commissioners to take the lead on this, I am in no position to take the lead on a heavy lift like climate change. No way. But I am happy to work on this issue as a very sub person to Commissioner Smith, if that's okay with Commissioner Smith.
Well, thank you. And, you know, coming up with answers or to the issue of climate change is a heavy lift, but I want to preface this, and Amy, I want to talk to you later today if we can, because given what the governor asked for and given the fact that we're going into furloughs and all everything else, it's, you know, this is not coming up with this, not planned, but I would call it a series of bullet points on how the commission and the department can engage in a healthy way about these global issues, because if we don't have a healthy environment, we won't have the critters out there and all of that. So it's all connected. I did have some communication with a partner out there who said that this was not in our bailiwick, who was listening to the governor's talk. And I'm going to talk to that partner as well, because it's in everybody's bailiwick. So I think we can provide value added because we do it already, but I don't want to have this put on the backs of staff to come up with a heavy document or ideas in a very short period of time, given the furloughs and whatever. But I do have a few ideas about how to harness some of the stuff we're already doing and just focus it a little bit different. We do the monthly or quarterly climate change newsletter and stuff like that. So a lot of this stuff is out there. So in talking to you, Amy, and Barbara, if possible, just to throw out some ideas so how we can start this. So those are my initial thoughts. Because one last thought. I do think this is a win-win. I think this is a way that as we look at the strategic plan, we're engaging new audiences all the time. And we want to, again, not by jeopardizing traditional partners. If you look in the back of me here, what that cabinet is, it's a gun cabinet. So, I mean, I'm not anti-traditional partners. And if you look on the shelf up there, you see some sheds I found. So I am one of the traditionalists. But I'm also one that thinking about the future of, as I said before, of my grandchildren. So I think we can have a stronger partnership with other people by embracing this issue in a very proactive, positive way, of which we are already.